The White House said today that it's ready to step in and provide a lifeline to the big three automakers, at least to cover them till a new Congress is sworn in. That after bailout legislation for Detroit died in the lame duck Senate yesterday. The collapse of even one of the big three could be damaging for the U.S. economy, but Detroit's fate is worrisome on a global scale, too. Economist Garel Rees is director of the Center for Automotive Industry Research at the University of Cardiff in Wales. Now, Professor Rees, it's a huge if as to whether one or more of the big three will collapse and how, but it seems pretty clear that come what may, they'll be doing less business next year. So who gets hurt overseas by that kind of contraction?
Well, who gets hurt overseas, of course, could well be the European subsidiaries of Ford and General Motors, because obviously the funding that's available is international, but it could well be that more and more funds have to go back from the European operations, the ones in South America and so on, to try to bail out the parent. And if General Motors and Ford, but it is particularly General Motors at the moment, is looking for aid in Europe, they're looking for about €524 million, I'm sure there'll be strings attached to that in terms of that money must be spent in the countries that is giving it to them.
And remind us what some of those European subsidiaries are of Ford and General Motors.
Well, of course, Ford uses the name Ford and nothing else, although they still got Volvo, but that's on the market. And General Motors, like its history, likes to use different names. In Britain, it's called Vauxhall, but the very same products are made in the rest of Europe and sold in the rest of Europe as Opels. They also own Saab in Sweden, and of course, they do sell occasionally small numbers of Cadillacs. So those brands have done very, very well for Europe because they've created jobs in these countries, and people should never forget that. The American manufacturers, Ford and General Motors, have created billions of dollars worth of money, incomes, investment in all the countries of Western Europe and, of course, worldwide.
How many jobs are we talking about outside the United States that are dependent on orders from the big three automakers in Detroit, and where are they?
Well, in terms of componentry and so on, most of those jobs are in the low-cost countries. There are some engines
like
and gearboxes in Mexico. They're over in the Philippines, Thailand. They are in the ASEAN countries generally. Also, of course, there are supplies coming up from Brazil and a few from Argentina. There are components coming from Western Europe, and often they are very high-value components. There are some engines. There are some gearboxes. But in the main, those supplies are really in countries that cannot really afford to lose those orders because it is part of their development program. And I know it's been very controversial, this business of outsourcing, which in Europe normally means that the vehicle maker switches support to a component firm who might be in the same country. Whereas in North America, it has the connotation of going offshore, going into cheaper countries, and that has been seen as a negative. But from the point of view of world economic welfare and development, that actually has been a very, very good thing indeed.
Professor Rees, I'm wondering, when was the last time you bought a car, or are you one of those smart, sober, one-car-in-a-lifetime guys?
No, I'm not. I bought a car 2 years ago, but I don't anticipate I'll buy one for a while. And that is the interesting point, really. If you stop buying a loaf of bread, you've lost it. You haven't got any bread. But if you've got a car, you've still got it. People don't buy cars. What they buy is car ownership. And if you decide not to buy a car today, you don't actually cut yourself from your car ownership. You keep it. You keep it a year longer. And it affects all the markets because in America and in Europe, for every one car sold in the new market, there are three sold in the used market. And for how many times it's bought, let's say it goes through six hands in its lifetime, that actually is like a sliced loaf of bread. Each car is then six products.
It's kind of like a newspaper. Yeah, you know, it's not the first person who buys it, but, you know, the 10 people on the subway who read it after them.
Exactly right.
Professor Garel Rees is the director of the Center for Automotive Industry Research at the University of Cardiff. Great to speak with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.